100 days on the place, yeah, man. It's a kick it, you know. That's right.
Yeah, me rolling and rock it to the beat, and me love the sound.
Oh, Chess, you can mess with the sound. Better grab your girl, your posse, and gather round.
Yeah, me rolling and bobbing and going like a mad man. Oh, the man got the sweet day off and 19 no long, so me say.
Hey, digital sister, welcome to episode 62. Thank you so much for passing it around to my fans in China, across Europe, and across the United States. Thank you so much. Much appreciated. Well, I was stunned today to learn of the passing of Yolanda King, who was the eldest daughter of the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. and Coretta Scott King. And she was just 51 years old. I was just stunned because it was just a year ago that her mom passed away, and Yolanda so eloquently led her siblings in, you know, to view the body when it was lying in state at the Georgia Capitol, and when she spoke at the service. And I can only think of Ilyasa Shabazz, who's the eldest daughter of Malcolm X, who was invited to speak at Coretta Scott King's funeral by Yolanda because they shared a similar bond. They both had their fathers assassinated when they were young, and they grew up without the fathers that they loved, and their moms bonded too, Betty Shabazz and Coretta Scott King. And I can only feel how heavy Ilyasa's heart must be as she learned that Yolanda passed away. It's just sad, you know. And it's sad that she was perhaps the one who really was carrying the torch of her father, and she was an actress and a producer, and she did her teachings in nonviolent using drama. So it's just really sad that she was taken from us way too soon, because I'm sure there was still so much great art and productivity to come. So we're really going to miss her. I'm just really, really so sad that she passed away, and stunned, and absolutely stunned by it. I am glad that Quincy Jones, Russell Simmons, and Tommy Hilfiger are joining together to spearhead a concert that's going to be held September 18th at Radio City Music Hall in New York City to raise money to help complete the building of the King Memorial on the National Mall. And it's so unfortunate that Yolanda passed away now, because how wonderful it would be for her to be at that event September 18th and to possibly do a reading or to dramatize a scene or just give some particularly great words, you know. It would be just wonderful if she would be able to be there, but unfortunately her untimely passing is not going to make that happen. But again, it shows that people and some movers and shakers are not going to let this sit, that they are taking it upon themselves to pick up the mantle and carry it. And I am so thankful for that. So in any event, you know, it's just sad that Yolanda won't be there to see this concert, nor will she be there when the memorial is finally completed and they cut the ribbon for that. So it's a sad situation. Very sad. Well, it looks like ex-POW Shoshana Johnson's book deal was canceled. And not only was it canceled, but the publisher, Kensington Books, also wants the advance back. And I think this is going to be a situation that we haven't really heard the last of, and I think we probably aren't going to really know the actual truth either, what really happened. But the publishing company is saying that she didn't make good on promises in timely manner to complete the book, and then Shoshana is saying that she did everything that she was supposed to do. She didn't know that there was a problem with the publisher, and that there seems to be some impasse and misunderstanding as to what's going on. But when you look at the overall situation, Shoshana was captured with Jessica Lynch, but it was the media and publicity spin from the media that really foisted Jessica Lynch onto the national spotlight, made a hero out of her. I mean, she got $1 million book advance, and there was a movie made. The book never really took off, as a matter of fact, but she was the face of the war at that time, and the military chose to make Jessica Lynch the face. And they totally ignored Shoshana, and she really fought off the captors. And Shoshana's African-American, if you don't know by now, Panamanian-American, as a matter of fact. She fought off the captors, and the captors shot her in the ankles. I remember they had to carry her because she couldn't walk. And her story was totally ignored, and people were outraged that she basically was given the shaft while Jessica Lynch was just kind of given everything. And subsequently, Jessica Lynch has, since she's out of the military now, has come on TV talking about how the military just fabricated the situation with her to put a spin on the military. At that time, the war was still kind of young, and to buy support for the war. And in fact, Shoshana, when people were asking her at that time how did she feel about the fact that Jessica was getting all this publicity and she wasn't, I mean, Shoshana was gracious. She said, you know, I don't have a problem with Jessica. Jessica's my friend. But things haven't gone, you know, as smoothly in the publicity machine for Shoshana as it did for Jessica. So I think we haven't heard the last of the story, and I suspect if the Kensington Books wants that advance back, and Shoshana saying she's not giving it back, there's probably going to be some lawsuits back and forth. So I think this is one of those stories that's going to play out in the press, and it probably is going to take some time, and it may be a little time before we get the real story. But when you look at the context of the whole situation, you can't help but think, wow, what's going on? Why is she not getting the same level of respect and publicity, 4 years after this happened, that Jessica Lynch was accorded almost immediately? I mean, it's food for thought, right? It's food for thought. Well, I was also stunned when we got the news that Prime Minister Tony Blair resigned. It was really, I kind of gasped when I heard that too, because to me it seemed like he has a conscience, and he is looking out for his legacy, and I don't think he wanted his legacy to be, that he followed another country into this conflict blindly. And at the time, he said he thought he did what was best for the country, but that he realized he made a mistake. And he had the guts, I think, to say that, and he had the guts to really own up to that. I suspect that he couldn't live with himself. I suspect that he wants to be remembered for something other than going down the toilet with the United States in this war. And I just think he just decided he had enough and he couldn't do it anymore. And I was reading that Britain suffered 150 losses of their service people, and people there were up in arms and they want them to pull out. And here is America. We're pushing, getting close to almost 4,000 service people being murdered, and we're still, you know, not thinking about how we're going to end and get out and save our service people. And even with the lies that came out about the death of Pat Tillman and the whole capturing of Jessica Lynch, it just gets worse and worse. So I say kudos to Prime Minister Tony Blair. Kudos to your country for realizing it was not a good thing. And kudos to you guys really figuring out it's time for Britain to pull out. Okay, and I wish that, you know, we had that sensibility here in the United States. But I say kudos to Tony Blair for having the guts to say what he did and to take ownership in the fact that he thought he did something right, but in hindsight, he realized it probably was not the best decision. So, well, I wish him well, and I hope that he will have some peace mentally, and that he will just be able to move on and do other things. So kudos to Tony Blair. looks like XM Radio has suspended two shock jocks, Opie and Anthony. And it's like crazy because, you know, I've talked about this kind of stuff at least in about four or five podcasts, and it doesn't seem to end. There seems to be a pattern here that we need to look at. It's always shock jock white DJs who are making these offensive comments, and then when they get checked, you know, it's out of context, it was a joke, whatever. I mean, come on, when is it going to stop already? So I'm taking a challenge out to my listeners here. I think you should send some information about Digital Sister to MSNBC and tell them that, hey, there is a voice out there who is putting it down with good commentary, and you need to take a look at something else besides just always white males. You know, other people have opinions too, and other people have commentaries that are just as, if not better. So hey, send my name to MSNBC and see what happens. But they made, you know, just horrible comments about First Lady Laura Bush, Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice, and even Britain's Queen Elizabeth. And then they really went overboard when they laughed and imagined Secretary of State Rice's horror describing a violent sexual encounter where she gets punched in the face. I mean, it's just totally, totally ridiculous. And isn't this like the second or third shock jock that says something really negative about Secretary of State? So in any event, XM Satellite is not really regulated by the FCC, but yet the brass there had the guts to take a stand and suspend these guys for what they're doing. And I think the camel that broke the straw that broke the camel's back was how the two DJs made light of the comment, and I think that's really what made the XM brass take that stand. But you know, it's got to stop. And you know, it's time for people to stand up and say, we really would like real humor, not bad behavior that's passed off as humor. But let's get back to real humor. I think that's what's lost today. People don't know what's funny. And shock jocks, you know, maybe shock jocks have seen their day. Maybe that was a trend that is slowly going away. And maybe we'll have some more intelligent people who actually do get to have shows on the airwaves. But anyway, I'm glad XM had the guts to take a stand and pull those guys off the air for 30 minutes. Maybe it'll make them think. Who knows, you know? But at least they took a stand. Looks like MGM Mirage CEO Terry Lani has some strong feelings about the NBA All-Star Game. He's the one CEO. They own, I guess, a lot of properties on the Strip, but he's the one CEO that has come out and said he didn't think the NBA All-Star game in Vegas was good for the city. He called people that came there gangbangers, and others who came who were there weren't very good for the casinos. And he also said something telling, which I think, you know, you have to read through the lines in talking to their casino hosts on a number of the casinos on the Strip. They were saying that people stayed in their villas and suites. So we know who's staying in the villas and suites, primarily because they felt uncomfortable. Now, were they feeling uncomfortable because there was just too much color, you know, in the casinos and they were afraid? I don't get it. Because, you know, there have been boxing matches in Vegas and all types of people come to that, and there really hasn't been any comment about that. So I think, you know, there's some other feelings about the NBA, and we all know that a lot of the players have been caught up in some really negative press, certainly the last year. And I think that's spilling over to how some people in charge of the casinos perceive, and that's what we're talking about. We're talking about perception, and that's how he feels. You have the Maloff brothers who want to get an NBA franchise there, but then you have somebody like the CEO is saying, He doesn't want a franchise there. He doesn't want that there at all. He doesn't want, quote, that element there either. So I think it's going to be very interesting to see what happens. Will there be another NBA All-Star game there, or is that just entirely too much for the city of Las Vegas to handle? So very interesting comments that he made. Well, but let's see what happens and if there will ever be another game there. But, I mean, really, that's Sin City, and it's fun, you know. Just interesting comment. I'll leave it at that. Well, it looks like hip-hop is so universal that there's going to be a hip-hop jam festival in North Bohemia in the Czech Republic on August 3rd and 4th. It's going to take place at the MIMO Airport, and it will feature some 20 urban DJs, Black Star DJs, Platinum Soul DJs, Farm Hood Fellas, War Track Posse, blind, deaf DJs, and others. But the fact is, it's a hip-hop jam in the Czech Republic. I think that's so cool. So my fans in the Czech Republic, please, please, if you go to the concert August 3rd and 4th, please give me a call on my Podmail line at 206-309-7325. Leave me a message and let us know what it was like, how the concert was, because I think that's so cool. But that just shows you how universal it is. And for people like Snoop, you know, who've been banned from entering two countries, Australia and I think Britain, look at what other hip-hop people are doing in other countries. And so, again, it comes back to that perception, probably in the more, more Western style type countries. Maybe the perception is much like what the CEO at the Mirage feels, but when you get into some other more, rural countries, but maybe some more Eastern countries, maybe that perception isn't there yet, so they're okay with hip-hop. But I just think it's fascinating that there's going to be a hip-hop jam in the Czech Republic. I don't think they could ever try to pull that off in the States. I just don't think it would ever happen. So that looks pretty exciting. So I hope I hear from my fans in the Czech Republic to let us know how it was. And then here, Jerry Falwell dies. You know, when I saw that headline, I had sort of mixed feelings, you know, because I'm always sad when somebody passes away. But he was such a lightning rod, you know. I don't agree with a lot of his comments, and there seemed to be, and sometimes, a mean-spiritedness about him. There's no doubt he was a great organizer. I mean, he's the one that, with the moral majority, swept Ronald Reagan into office some 20-plus years ago. He was a powerful force. And to some, he was a wonderful person. To some, he was just not the favorite person around. So, in any event, he was an interesting character, and it will be interesting to see how things shape, because a lot of the television evangelists are shifting gears, especially from the old school. And it'll be interesting to see, will there be another person quite like him who kind of fills the gap? Because really the only one kind of at that level who had that kind of reach is Pat Robertson. So it's kind of interesting to see how that's going to change, because that shows that the old guard and the evangelical movement, they're getting older and they're passing away. So will there be younger types filling those shoes, or will it morph into something else? But I think that's going to be interesting to see just how his death will impact the whole evangelical political system that he was one of the founders of. But in any event, I send my condolences to his family, and we just send our condolences. In any event, I think that's it for this evening. I hope that you have a great week. Continue to pass the podcast around, and just keep listening, because it's really catching on and I'm getting more and more fans. So I'm just really delighted about that. So again, thanks so much. I will be back with you in a few days. Digital Sister signing out.
Sing, yeah, I'm in the mood, and I'm in the mood, and I love this sound. Ooh, Jess, you can't mess with this sound.